Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. So good to have you along on a Saturday morning. We do this thing called The Balance every Saturday morning, where myself, your fearless leader, walk you through some of the most complicated mazes of sports stories that you could ever talk about. We had a great show for you today, as if today would be different than any other day, any other Saturday. My minions, I am proud to tell you we have a great lineup of guests today, absolutely. And you might notice a little bit of a shift in our normal format of things. We're actually going to be moving our racing segment around because we have a very, very important guest by the name of Brittany Force. Yes, of the Force family, sister to Courtney Force and daughter to John Force of NHRA Racing. She, just like those who come before her in the Force family, are up for the NHRA Rookie of the Year Award. She's out in Texas. She's calling from Texas, but she needed to move things around a little bit. So, of course, we're going to accommodate her. So we're going to be doing our racing segment a little bit later on in the show, right around about the 10:15 hour, 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. At 9:30 here, we're going to be talking some Colts with Phil B. Wilson of IndyStar.com. Going to be breaking down them Colts. And, yes, the brand-new pickup one, Mr. Trent Richardson. A good pickup, and we're going to get into a conversation with that. Obviously, break down their game tomorrow against them 49ers. Also, at the bottom of the hour, myself and Jared Calhoun breaking down your fantasy football huddle. We go into week 3. How y'all doing? It's time to start looking at some injuries, maybe possibly start looking at some trades. Actually, I did a pretty significant trade with Jared earlier this week, so we're going to get into that conversation. College football Saturday is going to be right around the corner, so that's going to be the first thing that we do. I am supposed to have Evan Williams call in, although I did tell him a time that's a little bit different. So he might, you know how college kids are, he might wake up and, oh, got to call in The Balance and, you know, literally wake up 5 minutes on the show. I can't do that. But I also wanted to take some time today to we're dedicating our show. And I know that we flagship out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And, you know, I do want to point this out. I'm not forgetting about the Washington, D.C. shipyard shooter and the victims there. And, you know, it's just oh too tragic that we have to keep having these conversations about shooters and active shooters and that stuff. It saddens my heart that we have to talk about that. But yesterday, here in Indianapolis, you know, we're a big city, but we're also a pretty tight-knit community. And Indianapolis police officer died in the line of duty. A real hero. And what happened was he answered a call to a domestic disturbance. And he heard a woman screaming. He kicked in the door. Gunfire erupted. He was shot. He was killed. Fortunately, so was the suspect in this situation. a tragic end, an unfortunate situation. We're dedicating our show to a fallen officer from the Indianapolis Metropolitan's Police Department. An Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department died Friday morning. The IMPD officer has been identified as Officer Rod Bradbury. As I was saying, he was responding to a domestic disturbance just before 2 a.m. IMPD officials and Broadway heard a woman scream for help, so he entered the apartment, prompting an exchange of gunfire. Officer Bradbury was taken to Wisher Memorial Hospital, where he was later died. Sources say that the suspect in the violence was in exchange was the name of Stephen Brado, number 24. I'm sorry, I got sports on the mind. 24 years old, cocaine dealer, convicted felon, probably a guy that should have been in jail. That's a conversation for another show, but our hearts are burdened today for the Bradway family, and he leaves a wife and two teenage children, and he just recently received the IMPD Bravery Award. He was also a fireman for several years prior to joining the force at the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment of silence for Officer Bradway, and we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to jump right into college football. This is The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquis Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquis Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquis Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. That's right, college football Saturday. You know what that means. It means it's Saturday, and it's time to talk some college football. And as we mentioned in our opening dialogue, we've moved some things around a little bit to accommodate a very important guest that we've got coming on later on in the show. From the Force family, and really looking forward to the interview with her. So, of course, we accommodated her. So our racing segment actually is still going to happen, but we're moving it back. How about them Hoosiers? We are standing by waiting to see if we can get Evan Williams on the phone with us. You know, college kids are a different breed, and so I told him 9:30, so we'll see if he calls in at 9:30 here. If he does, we're not going to hear from him because we got Phil B. Wilson calling in, going to be talking with us about them Colts. Well, I'll tell you what, huge game for IU today. Indiana against Missouri Tigers. I tell you what, this is going to be a good game. IU fans, was not disappointed last week against Bowling Green. That was a moderately good game. You know, I began to get worried a little bit there, but they pulled out a win. So we like that. IU taking on Missouri. Now, what's going to be the keys to the game here? What's going to be some of the X factors that we're looking at in this particular game? Obviously, IU's defense has to play a major role in winning against Missouri, and it really could be the difference maker. Indiana produced 601 yards, averaged 8.1 yards per play, and converted 61.15% on a third down in their 42 victory against Bowling Green last week. But the best news for the Hoosiers is that the offense took the back seat to the defense. So I think defense has to be the answer to IU beating Missouri, the Missouri Tigers today. It's only the second time in 61 games that Indiana allowed 10 fewer points last week. So if they can do the same thing today against the Missouri Tigers, my friends, we are going to see a win two in a row. Now, when was the last time we got to say, hey, two in a row? Maybe last year a little bit. IU, Missouri, it's going to be a good game. And I kind of do want to get through some of these games here, and hopefully we'll get Evan on the phone here. I almost tempted to just go ahead and call him, but I won't do that because you never know what's going to happen on the other end of the line, especially with college kids, you know. Hey, man, wake up. Hey, man, wake up. Your phone's ringing. I think it's that girl from last night. Dude, you were so – hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. Missouri Tigers today against IU. Tigers coming in undefeated 2-0. And IU 2-1. Going to be a good game. Purdue, though, I was standing by waiting for Evan, and he's not here yet. So we're going to go ahead and jump into Purdue. Purdue football, play Big Ten game. Big Purdue Boilermakers against the Wisconsin Badgers. Them stinking Badgers. It does not get any better. The bleak outlook for Purdue. Although, what a good game they played against Notre Dame, or what a bad game that Notre Dame played against Purdue. I guess it just all depends on what side of the line you're on and what you're looking at there. But I tell you what, Purdue really stuck in the game last week out at West Lafayette against the Fighting Irish. And we're also going to have Elizabeth the Greek here in just a moment as well. And we're going to get that loaded up here in just a moment, and we'll get to Elizabeth the Greek. So I just want to let you know that we're going to be getting to Elizabeth the Greek. But today it is Purdue and Wisconsin. Going to be a good game. And I tell you, Purdue has a lot of talent, and And I really wanted Evan to be a part of this conversation. But, you know, Purdue has a lot of talent. But the thing is, they are in their rebuilding years. And when you're in a rebuilding season, a lot of times, I guess people expect a lot more out of you than what you're able to perform. And maybe that's what we're talking about with Purdue. Certainly, we saw them play a good game against the Fighting Irish last week, Notre Dame. But again, begs to the question, was Notre Dame just playing that bad? But the biggest question today between Purdue is, how are they going to look against another Big Ten team? And really, at the end of the day, when you're trying to get into a bowl game, and when you're trying to maybe you're not trying to convince critics as a coach. Maybe that's not something that's on your agenda. But they do travel to out of the Wisconsin Badgers in a Big Ten battle on college football today. The game is scheduled for 3:30. Will be televised on ABC or ESPN, depending on where you're at in the country. So currently the odds have Wisconsin as a massive favorite to win. Imagine that. The biggest question heading into the game between Purdue and Wisconsin is, how will the Badgers respond? Wisconsin certainly has to be angry about what happened last week against Arizona State. Quarterback Joel Save probably should have been reprimanded, and many people think that he should be cut from the school. Just a boneheaded play by a quarterback that really should know better. Time ran out on the Badgers, and they lost. It's that simple. How does Wisconsin get up from this game and play against Purdue? On the other hand, Purdue is going in with some momentum. Even though they lost to Notre Dame, they had a good game. Really, in a lot of ways, Purdue played really good football. So, it's the Big Ten opener for both schools. Wisconsin has won the last seven games against the Purdue Boilermakers in Madison and has covered in the last three games in Badgerland. You don't go into Badgerland and not get bit by a badger. I'm just going to tell you that. And Purdue has to be ready for that bite. And it could be a pretty big bite. Now, a lot of people are saying this could be a 42-10 game. In a lot of ways. So, Purdue, I'm going to tell you, you're going to Badgerland today. Big Ten opener. Really wanted to talk with Evan. I understand that the schedule's changed. We're gonna sad sack him here on the show. Evan, you're officially sad sacked. You are sad sacked, my friend. Well, we got some games of the week to get to here in just a moment. But I tell you, we're fortunate in a lot of ways on this show, but we are really fortunate every week to probably have the best prognosticator in college football and pro football right here with us. And we're trying to get Elizabeth the Greek going here in just a moment here, but I tell you what, Elizabeth the Greek, she really does make some pretty good picks, and we're gonna get to her in just a second. You know, I do apologize. I'm kind of multitasking here, and you know, I have always been told I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. So, you know, I hope that you bear with me. Guys, without further ado, here she is, Elizabeth the Greek.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Mom Keith.
We Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't want to spoil anyone's Sunday, but I have an important message for all you chickens out there.
It's time for...
The Little Pesco Quiz!
Starts here.
Well, Elizabeth, week two, and it's not a really good one. You went 2-8.
Ouch. Well, I'm 5 years old. What can you do?
You're five. What can you do? That leaves you 7-13 for the year. Let's get right into it. In the Big Ten, do you go with the Purdue Boilermakers or the number 24 Wisconsin Badgers?
Wisconsin Badgers.
The Wisconsin Badgers. Let's head down to the SEC where we have the Battle of the Tigers. Do you go with the number 6 LSU Tigers or the unranked Auburn Tigers?
Unranked Auburn Tigers.
You're going to go with the Auburn Tigers. Moving over to the Big 12, we have the Kansas State Wildcats or the Texas Longhorns.
Texas Longhorns.
Texas Longhorns. Biggest game of the week as far as the NCAA goes. The number 22 Arizona State Sun Devils or the number 5 Stanford Cardinal?
Number 5 Stanford Cardinal.
The number 5 Stanford Cardinal. And finally, unranked Michigan State Spartans or the number 22 Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. All right, looking at this, you picked all 5 home teams, so let's hope that works. Now we're going to move over to the NFL. First game, 1 o'clock. Do you go with the Cleveland Browns or the Minnesota Vikings?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Another 1 o'clock game, the Houston Texans or the Baltimore Ravens?
Houston Texans.
All right, you're going out of that. No, you're the visiting team. You're going to go with the Houston Texans. Now moving on to 4 o'clock, we have the Indianapolis Colts or the San Francisco 49ers.
San Francisco 49ers.
You're going to go with the 49ers on that one. Moving on to Sunday night, do you go with the Chicago Bears or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Chicago Bears.
You're going to go with the Chicago Bears, another visiting team. And finally, on Monday night, do you go with the Oakland Raiders or the Denver Broncos?
The Oakland Raiders.
You're going to pick the Oakland Raiders over the Denver Broncos. There is some ballsy, ballsy picks right there. All right, who picked those?
Elizabeth the Gate. But number to like me on Facebook.com/...
All right, Elizabeth the Greek, we love having her on the show every week. I'll tell you what, not a bad pick against Denver, I'll tell you. the Oakland Raiders, maybe. I'll tell you what, Pryor can scramble. We know he's a runner. We saw him do it right here in Indianapolis. Great picks. Let us know what you think. Give me a call, 917-889-8516. We're going to talk some college football. We're going to be joined by Phil B. Wilson here in just a few minutes. Going to be talking about the Colts, as a matter of fact, against the San Francisco 49ers and the trade that was heard around the world. Mr. Trent Richardson, a lot of people liked that. A lot of people didn't like that. So we're going to get his take on it, what he thinks about it. I personally think it is a pretty good pick, and probably one of the best picks Grigson's done since he's been there. And if you might be interested to know this, that's the 16th pick, the 16th trade, I believe, that Grigson's done since he's been here. So we're going to talk to Phil B. Wilson about that. Well, a little going on into some of these games of the week. And, yes, Evan Williams is officially sad sacked. We're going to put that up on our social media. We're going to make sure that he knows that he's been sad sacked. Absolutely. Well, maybe $2 bill Josh will join us. There again, we should probably sad sack him too. Sad sack everybody here on The Balance. My name's Sal Marcos, El Presidente. Florida. Not Florida. Not Florida State. Not Florida Gators. But Florida International. against Louisville. Number seven, Louisville. However you say it, right? Going in 3-0. Florida International 0-3. Do we even want to talk about this game? I'll tell you what. Louisville has one of the top quarterbacks in the nation and certainly hopes to provide a huge, dangerous attack. They're ranked number seven. I don't really know that we have a lot to talk about with this particular game. But it's on schedule. FIU. But if you think back to 2011, they did beat the Cardinals. Absolutely. 24-17. But that was then. This is now. Joining us now, right now, is $2 Bill Josh. What's going on, sir?
I'm doing well this morning. Excited for another day of college football. How are you today, Tom?
We're doing good. You don't, maybe you don't know this, but we've moved our schedule around a little bit. We're doing college football right now. 9:30, Phil Wilson's going to be calling in. We're going to be talking about the Colts. Obviously, that huge pick, Trent Richardson, a part of the Colts. And all they had to do was give up one number one pick, you know, and maybe the scales tilted either which way, depending on how you look at it. We're going to get into that conversation. But we're talking about some college football. Right now, we talked about some Purdue. We talked about some IU. Any thoughts you want to put on IU, Missouri, or Purdue, Wisconsin? Because I tell you what, Purdue's probably going in for a shellacking today.
Well, Tom, I'm going to actually go the other way. Purdue's going to go to Wisconsin and beat the Badgers today. And you heard it here first from $2 Bill Josh.
I think we heard it first and only from $2 Bill Josh. You're the only person. So you know why it's so easy to hear you? Because you're the only one who's saying that. But I hopefully you're right. I mean, Wisconsin is a pretty powerful team, and you go into, you know, I mean, the odds are like 40 – picking the odd makers are picking the game to be like 40-10 in Wisconsin's favor. So why do you think Purdue's going to go in there and beat Wisconsin Badgers?
Well, I like Darryl Hazel. He seems to have Purdue nice and calm and focused, moving in one direction. Rob Henry started to play a little bit better, especially after last week. He seems to have Purdue all on the same page, and Wisconsin's in a bit of upheaval. I don't know if you saw the way they lost the game last week to Arizona State, but Tom, that could have an effect on the rest of their season.
Well, and we'll certainly have a be able to check that. I want to get your thoughts on this whole Wisconsin quarterback situation. You look back at the game last week. Kind of a bonehead thing to happen with Wisconsin, don't you think?
I do think it's a boneheaded move, but I think it's more on the referees than the players. I think the referees should have stopped the game clock. In fact, they got reprimanded, I want to say Wednesday or Thursday, for not stopping the clock. But if you're a college quarterback, you know better than that. So it's just a really bizarre way to end the game.
A very bizarre way to end the game, especially from somebody of that caliber. And that bodes for another topic, for another time, for another show. But what's going on with these kids that should know better? You look at Johnny Manziel, now you look at this situation. There's a couple other situations we really wanted to get in the conversation. These kids, I don't know, they're lacking discipline. They're doing stupid things. We're going to talk about some games of the week, though. Right now, obviously, Florida International taking on Louisville. I don't know that there's much to talk about that. Teddy Bridgewater, clearly, I believe, would be a number one pick. I believe that would be the case. Do you have anything to say about this Florida FIU game against Louisville?
Just can Teddy Bridgewater throw seven touchdowns today, or can they somehow keep him from throwing more than six?
Yeah, it's not really a question, I don't think, of who's going to win. It's just about how bad they're going to be. I want to talk about Bama, Josh, Bama and Colorado State. Going and doing some battle. Well, number one, Alabama, great game last week against Texas A&M. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, Tom, the most interesting storyline about that is Nick Saban secretly in talks to go to Texas at the end of the season? I don't know if you've heard about it, but apparently the University of Texas has reached out to Nick Saban's agent a couple different times to see if Nick Saban's interested in, of course, being the head coach of Alabama. He does the whole I'm not going anywhere. Line that he used in years at Michigan State before he went to LSU, before he left the Dolphins for Alabama. So, Tom, what do you think? Will he leave to go to Texas?
Yes, he will, but we don't have time to get into that. We've got to take a break right now. When we get back, we're going to be joined by Phil B. Wilson of IndyStar.com. We're going to be talking about the Colts, the Niners, coming up right here, right around the corner on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Great to have you along with us. I do also want to remind you guys that we're doing this show in dedication to Indianapolis Metropolitan Police officer who died early Friday morning after a shooting on the Northwest Side. Obviously, we know now that officer was Officer Rod Bradway, who responded to a domestic disturbance. Very, very sad time. You know, I said this in my opening dialogue. We're a big city here in Indianapolis, which is where we flagship from, but we're a very tight, tight community. And our hearts and prayers go out to the entire Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, as well as the families of the fallen officers. Joining us now, though, we're going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts and headed out west to the San Francisco 49ers, and we're going to talk about that trade that was heard around the world. Joining us now, Mr. Phil Wilson of IndyStar.com and Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Phil, are you with us?
Yeah, how you doing?
I am doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
No complaints, good. No worries.
No complaints, no worries. Well, I don't know where to start. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Colts, and we're going to talk about the trade, and we're going to talk about the 49ers. But my question is, the first question is, I am happy with the overall performance of the Indianapolis Colts so far. I think that they've given us so far, I know it's only been two games, but they've given us exactly what we thought would happen. Were there any surprises in the Dolphin game or the Raider game that you didn't didn't expect.
Well, they've got a long way to go, boss. I'm sorry. I guess I politely disagree. They should have won both those games, not just the one. And the defense hasn't played well. They've relied on Antoine Bethea and LaRon Landry to make a ton of tackles, and now Landry's out for Sunday, and Antoine Bethea's got a toe. I've got concerns about how the outside linebackers are playing the run. And the offense has not been putting up points in the second half. They only scored 3 points against Miami. So they've got some serious problems here. And, you know, I'd like to feel more optimistic, but I'm afraid it's probably going to get a little worse before it gets better, because San Francisco is going to be loaded for bear after getting embarrassed Sunday night. So not to pour mustard in the coffee or anything, or, you know, be a killjoy, but it's kind of a tough time, and they've lost three guys to IR already, and Vic Ballard and Dwayne Allen and Donald Thomas. That's a big blow. I mean, if it wasn't for the Trent Richardson trade, I think there'd be this big rain cloud over the Colts complex on West 56th Street, and people wouldn't have anything to cheer about. So it's a tough time right now, to be honest with you.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But at the same time, I think that the Colts, we're looking at a situation with the Colts, I think, that they've had a lot of rebuilding. They had a great season last year, and I think a better season than what a lot of people expected. And what I mean by them being where we expected them to be at is – I don't think anybody expected that we were going to have the season that we had last year. Joining us also is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, before we get into Trent Richardson and we get into the 49ers, do you have any questions for Phil Wilson of IndyStar.com about the Indianapolis Colts to date?
No, I just want to kind of echo what Phil Wilson said. Also, maybe say it a little bit stronger than he did, since I don't have to maintain relationships with the Colts. We stink this year. We're not moving forward. We severely regressed. Our defense is horrible. Our offensive line is mediocre at best. Phil, do you think we're done making trades, or do you think we have another one in the works? Maybe, say, trading Donald Brown for a tight end, or maybe trading a second-round pick for a lineman? Or do you think we're going to stand pat?
Well, if they could get an old washing machine for Donald Brown, I'd take it. I mean, to be honest, I don't think there's any trade value there. He's in a contract year, and I thought they might deal him because I think they want Kerwin Williams as a third back, but I don't know if anybody would give him anything because they know he'll be a free agent after this year, and they know he's just a one-cut, undersized running back who can't block, and there's not much of a market for that, so I am worried about the offensive line. Donald Thomas out. You got Hugh Thornton playing left guard, and I like Hugh. I think he's going to be a good player, and I think he's got a good future. He's a third round pick out of Illinois, and I don't think that's a problem necessarily. But I worry about Mike McGlynn at right guard, and I worry about Samson Satelli at center. McGlynn's in a contract year. I think everybody pretty much figured out he's done after this year here. Satelli's got one more year, but they drafted Khalid Holmes out of USC because they obviously weren't sold on Satelli. And Khalid was hurt all through preseason, training camp, and they hasn't really pushed him. So, you know, you bring up good points. I mean, they're so far, I don't think this team has moved forward yet. I came out of camp, and I still believe this. I think it's a better team. I really do. But now you subtract three guys from it. You add Trent Richardson, and my biggest concerns are just defensively. You know, there's such a thing as setting the edge defensively, and they paid Eric Walden a lot of money to play outside linebacker, and he hasn't done it yet. I ran into him in the locker room this week and mentioned, you know, you're due to make some plays. He goes, yeah, because I haven't made any yet. I mean, he was just very honest about it. So this is a guy that got paid a lot of money to play outside backer, and when I say set the edge, you know, be hard and firm outside and force plays inside. He hadn't been doing that. Guy's been running around his end. And they've been doing it to Robert Mathis on the other side, too. So it's really been a soft 3-4 defense, not to get too technical with people. And, you know, and my own wife will sit there and say, well, how come they didn't do this? How come they didn't do that? How come they don't get this? They just go out and people think there's the candy store, you know. And, well, I'll just go buy something, you know. I'll just go get this guy, and he'll fix everything. Well, you know, you kind of are what you are. And the one thing I will add, I mean, because you bring up a point, will they make more moves? You know, you initially think no, but the fact that they made the deal on Richardson and shipped the 2014 first-round pick, I know Cleveland shopped Richardson. I know Cleveland called the Colts. It wasn't the other way around. But it does show a willingness to try and do whatever, you know, the Colts can to win now. So that would strengthen the theory or the belief that they might make a deal before the deadline. They might try and you know, bolster either the defense or you know, maybe the line a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, as crazy as it sounds. The question is, who would they give up? I don't think Gregson would want to give up another pick for anybody because he's lost his number one next year for Richardson. So is there anybody of value on this team that they could deal? I mean, Donald Brown would be, I mean, gosh, if you get a late round, seventh or sixth round pick for him, you'd do that right now. But I look at the roster, and, you know, off the top of my head, I mean, I think they wanted to peddle Cavell Connor for a while, the backup linebacker. Again, you're talking a backup linebacker. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to want to, you know, do handstands to give up a pick for that. So maybe Ahmad Bradshaw. It's as crazy as it sounds. Maybe they peddle Ahmad Bradshaw. I don't know. I mean, he's got value, you know, but I like Ahmad Bradshaw and Trent Richardson as a tandem. I do. So it's a good point. And I think after this weekend, the Colts will be 1-2, and everybody will say that the sky's falling, and they'll forget this team was 1-2 last year. They'll forget that there's some character here. And maybe the script just has to follow the same way. Not, you know, not with the coach getting sick again, of course, but maybe sure. This team needs to be us against the world and everybody, you know, being down on them. And I think they're going to show some resiliency after that.
Well, it wouldn't be the Colts if that wasn't the case. I haven't seen anything on Twitter yet from Jim Irsay, so I don't know if he's wheeling and dealing, because we know he's very active on Twitter. We do want to talk. You mentioned this a couple times. Trent Richardson, obviously pairing up with Ahmad Bradshaw, and you know, we lost Ballard, so really the running game is on the shoulders of those two guys, unless they trade Ahmad Bradshaw. But Trent Richardson, you know, I think it was a great pickup, and a lot of people have disagreed with me this past week, and especially fantasy football owners who know everything about football, by the way. That fantasy football guy, I have to admit, though, I am that guy too, and we do have our fantasy football huddle. But Trent Richardson, I think, is a better match for us than he ever was for Cleveland, and you can't look at the fact that he averaged 3.5 yards per carry at Cleveland. What you got to look at is what he can do for Indianapolis. And a little bit lopsided of a trade, a lot of people thought, well, all they gave up was a number one for a premium running back. Who got the sucker trade here? I don't think either one of us. I think it was really it was good for both of us, because now Cleveland's lined up. They have to fix everything, so they probably more or less conceded that this year is going to suck. But next year, they're drafting for next year, so they've got 10 number one picks now, and I think, seven of those are in the first round. So really, on one side of it, Cleveland came out smelling like a rose, where it's yet to see what Trent Richardson can do in a Colts uniform. But, guys, I want to get your thoughts on this. This is a huge thing that got national attention all week long. That's all everybody's talking about, is Trent Richardson going to the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll start with you, Phil. What are your thoughts?
Well, you bring up a lot of good points. You sound like you've been sitting with me and reading my emails and my tweets in the last 3 or 4 days.
I have part of it.
Yeah, you pretty much covered all the things we've heard. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff from Cleveland because I was curious about him, obviously. You know, Mike Holmgren was upset. of course, because he was let go by the Browns, that the guy he picked number one or number three overall, but in the first round last year is being shipped out so quickly. He thought it was a foolish trade by his former employer. And the thing I thought was interesting was he said, you know, a year ago, if somebody would have offered you the 24th pick in the draft for Trent Richardson, you would have jumped at it. And if the Colts would make it back to playoffs and be 11-5, that's probably where they pick. I think they picked 24 last year. That's where this number one pick that they gave up would be, in the 20s. I like that. I like the fact that, well, we're saying right now that we think having him is better than whatever we get at 24 next year. Now, that said, there are questions about his character, and I understand that. Some things have been written or said in Cleveland that he wasn't necessarily a team guy. I don't get too much into that because I think when you play for good teams and you have leaders like Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne, Robert Mathis, you figure out you've got to play on the team, you've got to be a member of the team, you've got to do as they do, and you're new here. You've got to earn their respect. It's not the other way around. I know the other part about it is Trent Richardson, he's a tough runner, and he runs through his pads, as they say. When he falls, he falls forward. It's 3 and 4 and 5 yards. It's not getting pushed back. And he played with crack ribs, a finger, an ankle, a chest.
Good point.
He had injuries all last year, and he still averaged, like you said, 3.6 with 11 touchdowns. He can catch the ball in the backfield, and he can block real well. So I like all the positives to him. And he is still a young guy, so maybe he is a little immature. Maybe he does use the injuries as a little bit of an excuse sometimes for treatment or showing up late for practice or whatever the stuff I read. I read some stuff this morning. I'm thinking you've got a clean bill of health here. You've got a fresh start with someone that wants you. You have a quarterback that might be one of the most up-and-coming talents in this league. And bottom line here, if you can't thrive, if you can't be successful and be a good running back, maybe he's not great, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. Those are hard to find. But if you can't thrive here, then that speaks to what, you know, your career is going to be, and that doesn't say much for you.
Well, absolutely. And $2 bill, Josh, my partner in crime as well. Josh, I haven't purposely left you out of the conversation. We just wanted to have a lot to cover. I am going to let you ask anything you want about Trent Richardson, but more than anything, Josh, I'm going to let you go ahead and segue into the San Francisco 49ers because we've only got Phil here for just a limited amount of time. So go ahead, Josh.
Well, I want to know why they went after Trent Richardson and not, say, Alfred Morris or Doug Martin. I think one of those running backs would have been a better fit here. I don't know if they just weren't available or what the deal is. But, Phil, I'm going to disagree with you. I might be the only one person in America saying this, too. I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to go into San Francisco and expose the Niners as being severely overrated. I mean, the Niners really only have one wide receiver this year, Anquan Boldin. They could have beat Seattle, and Seattle, I guess, is a dominant 2-0 team. But, Phil, what do you think the odds are? I'm right, the Colts can go into San Francisco and beat the Niners.
I hope you're right. I love your optimism. I read that injury report yesterday, and I said, gee, many Christmas, are you kidding me? You know, LeRon Landry's out. Antoine Bethea has a toe injury. Corey Redding has a back. Pat Anger is doubtful with a knee. There are a few other guys that are probable. I'd love to see the offense be more consistent and obviously play much better in the second half. I'm confident this offense is going to be really good. Now that they got their heads out of their patootie and realized what they should have known already, that, gee, T.Y. Hilton needs to be on the field more, I think this offense flourishes. I mean, I hate not having Dwayne Allen. I hate it. But that means probably single tight ends, Kobe Fleener, which also means more three wides, which gets T.Y. Hilton on the field with Darius Heyward-Bey and Reggie Wayne. I think that's their best lineup. And when you play football, you go with your strengths. And that also means throwing the ball and then mixing in the run, not running, power running, and then mixing in the pass. Andrew Luck's your strength. I think Pep Hamilton, the first-year offensive coordinator, He's still learning, and he's still trying to figure out what he's doing. And that's a little frustrating for me and media and fans. But I won't rule out them going in there and putting on a good show and maybe taking it down the wire. I've just got awful fearful that this defense's problems will be magnified against a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who can do a little bit of everything and certainly can run and certainly has all the mobility that you'd ever want. And then Frank Gore hasn't done anything in two games, and he's due to bust out. And Anquan Boldin, you mentioned, he tore these guys up in the playoffs last year. So it's a tough road trip. I hope I'm wrong. I hope my pessimism and sarcasm and skepticism is just typical misguided beliefs from sports writers who maybe sometimes think they know more than they do. I don't claim to be a know-it-all, guys, but I do hope you're right. I do. I hope the Colts can pull it off.
Well, I tell you what, we're talking with Phil Wilson of IndyStar.com, beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts, good friend of the show, and certainly very well known here in the city of Indianapolis. And you know what? When we do a stare and compare, Phil, to you and Kravitz, I mean, come on, sarcasm, none of that. None of that comes into play here, all right? at least kind of stay it out is. I mean, I don't know, you either love Kravitz or you hate him, and it just depends on the week, depending on the week. But one thing about the Colts going into the 49ers, obviously I'm getting ahead of myself. Making a return trip out to the Bay Area to face Coach Harbaugh. The Colts offense line has improved its pass protection performance in week two against the Dolphins, but that did crumble late in the game when Miami really did some outside the box blitzing, I would think, and really just took control over the protection. And I think you want to look for the 49ers to really test that protection. Especially test one Trent Richardson. So I think it's going to be a difficult road. But when you look at that, and you look at how our pass protection and how everything just fell apart in the second half for the Colts, and it was done by the Miami Dolphins. And don't get me wrong, Miami Dolphins are a very good team this year. And maybe to quote an old quote, they are who we thought they were. Maybe a lot of people didn't know how good the Dolphins were till they came in and played the Colts. But the 49ers really are a good team, and if the Colts are to beat 49ers at home, everything has to come into sync. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, and you brought up a good point that I probably should have mentioned before, and I don't want to make it sound like the offensive line is terrible. I thought the line played pretty darn well against Miami. Cameron Wake, I was convinced, was going to tear them up, and they handled him well. But like you said, they did the same thing Oakland did. They started bringing extra guys. And as we saw in the fourth down sack, Philip Wheeler, just ran right by Donald Brown. Donald Brown had, the infamous whiff block. They call him Damn It Donald for a reason around here. It's unfortunate because he shouldn't be there in that spot. I mean, I put that on the coaches as much as anything. If you ask, you can say, well, I asked this guy to do it. I asked Philip B. to be on this show, but he wasn't any good. Well, it's partly on your fault then if you thought Philip B. was supposed to be good. You know what I mean, though? If you have your expectations too much, coaches are supposed to be paid to put the guys in the best position to succeed. And asking Donald Brown to block, especially against Philip Wheeler, a former Colt who didn't pan out here but certainly has speed and strength, and I always thought he did have a decent pass rush, that was embarrassing. So the Raiders did the same thing. They blitzed off the corner. So this line has problems picking up to the blitz, which, you know what, I think it's continuity. I think that's guys that are used to playing together. I think that's offense is still trying to find itself. They're going to need to have it together for the Niners, because I think the Niners will blitz them a little bit. Unless you can give Alden Smith a few cocktails before the game, and maybe get himself suspended after his DUI. But heck, if anything else, that guy might be more motivated because he's been sitting in a jail cell, this weekend. So. That's a huge key. If you can protect your quarterback and keep him clean, then I think you give the Colts a fighter's chance against anybody. That's what we used to say about Peyton. Oh, how do you think the Colts could win? Do you really think? Hey, we got Peyton Manning. If you have Peyton, you always have a chance. I think at some point people are going to say that about Andrew Luck.
Absolutely. We're talking with Phil Wilson, and I know we've ran over time here, and for those of you that might be just tuning in, because wait, there, nowhere, what I missed? Yeah, we've kind of had to move everything back because we moved our racing segment, which is usually our first segment, back a little bit because we've got a great guest coming up here at 10:15, Brittany Force calling in. Obviously, you have the Force family, sister to one Courtney Force, daughter to one John Force. So for those of you that might be used to the way we do things, we are doing things a little bit different. We're talking to Phil Wilson, beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts, talking about the big trade with Trent Richardson, and also talking about the big game out in the Bay against the San Francisco 49ers. Well, we're going to make this the last word, Josh. Real quickly, what's the last word for Phil B. Wilson?
So, Phil, you have a pretty close connection to the team. Is Greg Minutsky's seat getting hot yet, or does he have a few more weeks before it'll really start to get hot?
Well, unfortunately, I think he stays no matter what happens, but I won't be a bit surprised if by the end of the year, you know, if this defense regresses instead of getting better, Chuck Pagano will have to answer to Jim Irsay and Ryan Grigson about why so much money was spent to upgrade the defense and how could it get worse. I mean, there's no explanation for that. Their corners should be better, and I think they are going to be better. Their safeties are certainly better with Landry. Their defensive line actually is better with Ricky Jean-Francois in the middle. I think he's a great player. That was a great sign. But your outside backers aren't getting it done, and that's the most important position in a 3-4. And if you don't get it done, if you stay in the bottom third defensively, and people forget, last year's team was bottom third defensively. They got outscored by 30 points, but they were so inspired. They played such clutch ball in the fourth quarter. Andrew Luck, 7 fourth-quarter game-winning drives, or I guess I'd say fourth-quarter overtime game-winning drives. That's unheard of, especially for a rookie. It's unheard of for any quarterback. They can't keep getting by that way. The defense has got to be at least middle of the pack. If not, Minuski's got to answer for it, and Pagano's got to look himself in the mirror and say, well, I'm a defensive coach, and the guy I hired to be my coordinator, defense has gotten worse in 2 years. Something's got to give.
Absolutely. Phil B. Wilson, Phil, we appreciate you taking some time out of a day before game day. Did you make the trip out there? Is it real early out there?
I'm back in Indy. I'm going to be at the Greenwood Park Mall today, 1 to 4 p.m. I'm signing my new book, 100 Things Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. I'll be out there at Sports Fanatics in the Greenwood Park Mall. Apologize for the plug, but sign a book.
I apologize, Phil. I knew that. I had that here in my notes, and we got sidetracked. So I'm the one that owes you an apology. I knew that.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Real quickly, where can people buy the book? We'll get that up on your social media. Where can people buy it, and what's it about? Apologize.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me mention that. It's just a little bit of everything about the Colts and the history. Got to Danny Mike to Baltimore. A lot of fun stories, a lot of things that have never been reported before. Some rehash from some of the moments you remember, some of the moments you want to forget. But it's through Triumph Books in Chicago. You can go to their website and order it. You can go to Amazon and order it. One of the easiest things to keep track of it is just go to Facebook, type in the title, 100 Things Colts Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You'll see the web page or the Facebook page I've created. I list all my signings on there, and I've got signings from now until in November on Saturdays, and I'll be a lot of places in the next 3 months through the Christmas season. So if you want to get a book signed, it's $16. I got to throw the tax in there because of the government. But it's $16. Come see me, and if you live out of state and you want something, I'm making arrangements via email with people to be able to send books long distance to Colts fans who want to read it. I've heard a lot of positive feedback early on, and I'm sure that's normal. I mean, people are Colts fans. They want to just see something good. But there's some really, really good stuff in here. And I wrote this for fans, and I poured my heart into it. I interviewed a lot of people. There's a lot of original interviews in here. I think people will get a real kick out of it.
Phil B. Wilson, beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts of IndyStar.com and also accomplished author now. And I can tell you one thing, Phil, you can count me down for a couple of those books. Those are going to make some great Christmas gifts. So I may have to hook up with you sometime between now and Christmas and get your autograph. All right, Mr. Phil B. Wilson, we appreciate it. And you have a good book signing. If you're in the Indianapolis metro market, head on down to the Greenwood Park Mall this afternoon. Meet with Phil B. Wilson and get a copy of his book. Phil, you have yourself a good day, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. You guys take care.
All right. Phil Wilson, always a treat to have him on the show, a beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts with Indy Star. And as he mentioned, his new book, we've got that up on our social media. Get out there and get a copy of that book as well. Myself with $2 Bill, Josh will be back. We're going to be talking about some NFL games around the league for the next 15 minutes. And then we're going to be joined by Brittany Force right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Welcome back, my minions. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente. Joining me also is Mr. $2 Bill. Josh, great interview with Phil Wilson. Always good to have him on the show and break down some Colts action with us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have Philip E. Wilson on the show today, Tom. So, Tom, are you ready for an exciting weekend of college and NFL football?
I'm ready. It is. Football is here, and it is here. And I'm ready. Let's talk about some of these games going on. Let's talk about the game that's already started, that's already played in the books. How about one Andy Reid showing up at Philly and getting business done? He looked like a big old bottle of ketchup, but I tell you what, Andy Reid comes out to Philadelphia, gets it done against Michael Vick and crew.
Well, Tom, you know my brother, so my brother is obviously happy. The Chiefs have improved it 3-0, but are they the worst 3-0 team in the history of the NFL? They didn't so much as beat the Philadelphia Eagles as the Eagles beat the Eagles.
I think the Eagles beat the Eagles. That's for sure. And we do want to get through this, guys, because at 10:15, we got Brittany Force joining us. Going to be talking about her up for the Rookie of the Year. Going to be talking about her career now, really, as a rookie, not really so much a rookie in the NHRA. So we do want to get through some of these games, Josh. But we'll start out. We'll just kind of go through here in no particular order. Talk about the Cardinals and the Saints. Good matchup here. How about a little Saints defense coordinator? Let's give him a little love. Saints defense coordinator, Mr. Rob Ryan, after New Orleans allowed more yardage than any team in NFL history last season, the Saints are giving up a workmanlike 320 yards, 11th place in the league. Arizona Cardinals at the Saints. Thoughts, Josh?
Well, Bruce Arians has Arizona pointed in the right direction, but they're playing the New Orleans Saints. That's no contest. Saints and Saints big.
Saints and Saints big. Houston Texans at Baltimore Ravens. Tell you what, Houston's long search for the number two receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, hauled in 7 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown in Sunday's win over Tennessee. After the game, Nuke said he could be better than Andre Johnson. That should sound crazier than it actually does, Josh.
It should sound kind of crazy, but Baltimore, your playoff game is tomorrow. You lose tomorrow, you're not going to get a chance to defend your Super Bowl title. It's next to impossible to start 0-3 and make the playoffs. So if the Ravens want to be a playoff team, they'll win tomorrow. If they don't, they won't.
Green Bay Packers at the Bengals. A lot of people aren't paying attention to the Bengals. Wait, the Bengals are here. The Bengals are playing. The Bengals are winning. Cincy's nasty pass rush has just 2 sacks on the season. And then introducing one, Aaron Rodgers, who gets rid of the ball as quickly as any passer in the NFL against the Redskins last week. 33 of 46 dropbacks. Saw A-Rod. A-Rod is so good, he's actually playing in other sports. Sees Aaron unleash the ball inside the in 2.5 seconds. Josh. Real quickly, the Packers at the Bengals.
I'm going to take the Packers to blow out Cincinnati.
In a blowout. I tell you what, Cincinnati, I like them. I wish we had time to get into it. The Rams at the Cowboys. Rams quarterbacks, Cortland Finnegan and Jenkins missed tackles and struggled last week against Atlanta's pass catchers. Dez Bryant could be in for a big day. The Cowboys and the Rams. The Rams go into Cowboys Stadium there.
Well, I'm going to pick Tony Romo only because in this case I kind of have to. I don't trust Tony Romo, but I'm going to pick the Cowboys anyway.
Cleveland Browns at Minnesota Vikings. Cleveland Brown minus Trent Richardson at Minnesota Vikings. Cleveland's only hope is a talented front seven tasked with keeping Adrian Peterson at bay. Cleveland's shell of an offense minus, wait for it, Trent Richardson. But they do have Willis McGahee. Certainly a veteran, and Bobby Rainey, who has zero career carries and has never started. So, Vikings, enjoy your win. This is one of those easy wins against the Browns, Josh.
I agree, and I'm not just saying this because of fantasy football reasons, but I think Adrian Peterson is going to have 200 yards rushing.
Tampa Bay at New England. Don't sleep on Tampa Bay's defense. Linebackers LaVon David and Mason Foster are bright spots for a team swimming in drama, backstroke, doggy paddle, in secondary. Revis won't allow Edelman to play the hero again on Sunday. The Bucs and the Patriots, Josh.
New England's going to get their first loss and fall to second in the division.
And home of C.J. Spiller. Speaking of fantasy football, you know, I traded him this week. We're going to get into that in the fantasy football huddle. E.J. Manuel is playing well for a rookie, but he got away with a lot of mistakes last week against Carolina. He might continue to get away with them with the Bills' defense. Keeps up this pace. It's easily one of the most improved units in the league. Improved units? I just love saying improved unit. I'm 44 years old. I'd like to have an improved unit. $2 bill, Josh. Buffalo Bills at the Jets.
Well, quickly moving off in that comment, I'm going to pick the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills. Chargers at the Tennessee Titans. The Bolts right tackle, T.J. Folker, is the team's first-round draft pick. Suffered a concussion in practice. Got his bell rung this week. San Diego's offense line has vastly improved this year and tougher than a year ago and could struggle to hold against Tennessee's nasty no-name front.
I want to pick Tennessee to beat San Diego. I'm still not a Charger fan.
All right, Detroit Lions at the Skins. Matthew Stafford is getting the ball out of his hand faster this year. And I recommended that our social media director and producer, you know what? I'm not going to dance around this anymore. I think everybody knows it. Social media director, producer, and my loved girl, my sweetie, Michelle Jones, Matthew Stafford. I told her to start Matthew Stafford over Eli Manning this week. What are your thoughts?
I agree. In fact, maybe she should consider trading Eli Manning. I know that's her guy, but he's having a horrible year.
As long as she doesn't trade me, I'm in good shape. Atlanta Falcons at Miami Dolphins. Miami's defense has a terrific depth. Brent Grimes is playing a Pro Bowl-type level cornerback. Don't have a lot of time to get into all this. Jacksonville at Seattle. Can we hear it? Tebow to Jacksonville. No, I don't know. That's not been made official, but certainly what's going on. We talked about the Colts and the Niners, the Bears at the Steelers, and the Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Denver could see their first loss against the Oakland Raiders. How big and how huge would that be, Josh?
That would be a huge upset. And unfortunately, buddy, I'm going to have to jump off here, but thanks for having me on today.
All right. $2 bill, Josh, joining us as we walk around the league. Well, we got our walkthrough done pretty quickly here. Coming up at 10:15 here in just a few short moments, we're getting geared up for one Brittany Force. We're going to be talking with her, a great driver in a lot of ways. A student becomes driver. We're going to talk with her about what she's got going on and obviously in contention for the Rookie of the Year. We're going to be talking with her here real shortly here. She's going to be calling in, and we're going to be talking with Brittany Force, Rookie of the Year, and first ever Top Fuel dragster at John Force Racing. Yep, not a funny car girl, not a funny car girl, but I'm a funny guy. Am I not the funniest guy you've ever met? I'm El Presidente. My name's Tom Marquis. We're going to take a break real quick here so we can get back and get ready for Brittany Force right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 31.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
guys. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. You know me as El Presidente. Great show so far. Thank you so much, Mr. Phil B. Wilson, joining us from the IndyStore.com, talking with us about the Colts. Also, $2 bill, Josh. We got our walkthrough done with the NFL a lot quicker than normal. And again, we're moving things around a little bit because we are pleased to have with us today in our racing segment, which is normally at the beginning of the show, but we're having it midway because we have another force on the show. We love having the forces with us. Miss Brittany Forrest, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always an honor to have you. Now you're new to The Balance. We've had your sister and your dad on. I know you're always hear this. You're always in the shadows of your dad and your sister. But hey, I can think of worse shadows to fall under. Brittany Forrest. Now, Brittany, you were the teacher. So in a lot of ways, teachers have become the student with you. Talk with us about that transition.
Yeah. I graduated from Cal State Fullerton and went on and did an extra year and got a teaching credential. And at the time, I was still racing A-Fuel. I was just competing, you know, here and there, whatever really worked with my schedule because I was busy doing that teaching credential. And, you know, just doing mostly races near home. And my plan was I really, when I got done with the whole teaching credential, I wanted to, you know, go A-Fuel racing all the time, really get competitive, be racing every single weekend, and that was my plan. But unfortunately, we couldn't, you know, get a sponsor to fund an A-Fuel team and get it, you know, get a whole team together. So we went a different route. My dad, you know, talked me into the idea of testing the top fuel car, which when I did it, I told him I still plan to go back to A-Fuel. You know, that's what I really love. That's what I know how to drive, but I wouldn't mind, you know, testing it out. We wanted to test the Ford Box 500 engine in it. So I got into that thing, and after I made a few runs, it was actually after I made my first full pass down the track, but I jumped out, and I was hooked. I told my dad, every other path I thought I would take had changed at that point, and I wanted to go to uphill racing.
Now, you know, we always hear about your dad obviously encouraging the girls to race. And what does mom say about the force girls and following in dad's footsteps? Because what does she say about it all?
My parents are so awesome. They support us no matter what we do. And my mom, you know, loves coming on the road with us. She comes to every single event with my little sister Courtney and I. And, you know, loves coming out and watching us on the racetrack. And she just loves being out here with us.
The most unrecognizable force, I should say. Because I'll be honest with you, if you were walking around the track with your mom, I wouldn't know who your mom was. And she's okay with that, though, right?
Oh, yeah. She's fine.
Well, we're talking with Brittany Forrest, obviously sister to Courtney Forrest and daughter of John Forrest, and who's making a name all by herself. Brittany is one of the candidates for the Automobile Club Southern California Road to the Future, and we'll just call it the NHRA's Rookie of the Year Award. And you're looking to get that, and you are the first John Forrest racer that isn't in a funny car. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. You know, like I said, my plan was to stay in A-Fuel. I've always loved drag strips. I drove Super Comp for 2-3 years. I drove A-Fuel for another few years. And I always liked the dragsters. And to me, it made the most sense to transition into a top fuel car. And, you know, like I said, once I got in it, I loved it. But, yeah, I come from a family of funny car drivers. You know, that's all we've ever known over here at John Forrest Racing are funny cars, you know. And bringing the top fuel into our pit, it's been a challenge. It's definitely been a challenge for everyone over here. And my team has worked so hard. My crew chiefs have worked so hard. And, you know, we've struggled quite a bit because we don't have any experience. We don't have anything to build from. And, you know, we're doing it all alone. But I'm loving every minute of it. And we're going to go off to that rookie of the Year award for the Castro Life team.
Well, absolutely. And three remaining races, and you're out there in Texas. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on out there. I think it got rained out yesterday. Mm-hmm. But talk with us a little bit about what's going on with these three remaining races and what's ahead of you and what are the challenges you're facing.
Yeah, I'm glad to be out here in Dallas. Unfortunately, it rained all day yesterday, so we missed two of those qualifying passes. They I ended up calling it, you know, around 2 o'clock. And we have today, though. We have all today. The sun's out. The skies are blue. It's beautiful out here. And we'll hopefully get those 2 qualifying passes in, which it does make it a little bit more challenging because now we don't have that many runs, you know, to get our car in the field. We only have 2, but that's just how the game is played, and that's how everybody that I'm going against, you know, they have to, you know, battle that out in those 2 rounds too. So it works out for all. Hopefully it'll work out for all of us, all of John Force Racing. But forgot what you were asking. You're asking about the remainder of the season. We actually still have 1, 2, how many races do we have left?
Let's see. 3 left.
1, 2, is it 3?
I thought it was 3.
3? It's 4. I think it's 4.
4, okay.
Yeah, it's 4. We have St. Louis, Reading, Vegas, and Pomona. I was forgetting Reading. So we still have 4 left and this weekend. And, you know, my Castle Edge team, we're going to go after our first win. And, you know, we've struggled, but we finally feel like we're getting this car in the right place. You know, we've made some big changes on it. So if we could just get the car down the track and make some good clean passes and you know, get this car qualified, I think hopefully we'll be good Sunday.
Well, we know about rain. Obviously, we flagship here in Indianapolis. We're a national radio show. We're all over the United States. But last year, we had some big rain here at the U.S. Nationals. Now, you're making your debut at the Texas Motorplex. Well, I guess you're making your debut everywhere this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the second youngest daughter in the mix there. So you didn't, like you just mentioned a while ago, you didn't really just kind of fall into, you kind of fell into it, but you did some other things in your career past. One of the things I want to ask you about, I know you get asked about it all the time here, and honestly, I was a fan of it, but there was a lot of people that wasn't, and I want to talk with you what your thoughts are on your sister's magazine shoot with ESPN, the Body Magazine. I thought it was great. I thought it was done in great taste. I thought it did great things for the sport, and just a fantastic thing, but she stepped out in her element, out of her element, to do that. And I know that was a lot for her to do. Talk with us a little bit about the behind the scenes and the decision making in doing that. And since she's done that, talk with us about some of the conversations you guys have had, sisterly love. Did you tell her, no, you don't want to do that? Did you tell her you did it? What did Dad say about it? Has Dad looked at the magazine?
Yeah, you know, my dad was supportive about it. He actually did it a few years ago, but his was the body you don't want because
I remember
all
that.
Broken
I remember
everything
that.
from his crash in 2007. He just hurt himself so bad. So, but he was supportive. They actually approached Courtney last year. Her body issued it. They wanted her, you know, to shoot for that, and she just, in her rookie season, she wasn't ready to take on anything like that. So they came back to her again this year, and you know, she really thought about it for a few months. She asked, you know, obviously my parents' advice. She asked my advice. And, you know, I gave her my honest opinion about everything. I was worried. My biggest concern was, what if they get a photo of you that you absolutely hate and then it's out there for everybody to see and you don't just love the photo? That was my biggest concern, was I wanted her to have a photo she loved, she felt proud of. But you don't always have... When you're at a photo shoot, you don't always love all the photos, and you can't do anything once they're out there. So that was my biggest concern for her. But you know, she really sat down, and we talked about it quite a few times, and then she decided to go for it. So I was fully supporting her. I told her, she knew either way, I would support her. But I actually went to the shoot with her. She was like, "You need to be out there with me." She was freaking out about it. She was nervous, but she'd worked. You know, she's always been in great shape, and she's always worked out, and she really pushed the gym pretty hard. You know, to really get in shape for this shoot. And I went out there with her, and, I mean, every picture they took, I was, you know, saying, oh, that's going to be the one, because all of them were just so awesome. And then she ended up getting, you know, the front cover. So I'm really proud of her. That was awesome. I know that she was way out of her element. She was nervous about it, but I definitely know she's proud.
I thought it was a great taste. I know that a lot of people in the racing community thought maybe that didn't need to happen, but I thought it was a great taste. I appreciate you taking a few moments to talk with us about that. Obviously, we're talking with Brittany Force, sister to Courtney Force, daughter to John Force. And I know you hear that all the time, but you are a racer who's making a name for herself. Obviously, everything's big out in Texas. How big is it to win out there in Texas?
You know, that would just be awesome. for the Castro Edge team, our rookie season, and like I said, my team, my crew chief, they have worked so hard. And, you know, they've put everything into this car. And I'm doing everything I can as a driver, you know, to make them proud. And, you know, you get this car down the track and make some good passes and, you know, not make mistakes that will cost the team a run. And, you know, we've all put so much into it. So to get a win out here in Dallas would just be, it would mean the world. It would mean so much, especially in my rookie season.
Well, absolutely, and your dad's no stranger to winning there either. Obviously, has won many races out there out there in Texas. And we love when you guys come here to Indianapolis. We only got just a few short minutes left, and really, I always do this to every guest that we have. I give you guys a few minutes to talk about anything you want to talk about that I didn't ask you about, anything you want us to know about, anything you'd like to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, just this like the Castro Edge team. We're talking about. You know, the road to the future or the rookie of the year or this team, like I said, we're really going to go after it. You know, we definitely have had some success this year. It's been a struggle. We're building the top field up from the ground. We don't have any experience over here in John Fish Racing the top field. So, you know, to have gone some rounds to get into the fan vote for the Texas Shootout, all that, you know, I definitely think will help. And we're still going to fight it out. We only have a few races left, but we're going to try to get, you know, get into the winner's circle this year.
Well, we're excited to watch you, and we're excited to see where this career takes you. And in the Force Legend, let me ask you this real quickly. Do you ever feel like you get lost in the mix? And pardon the pun, but may the Force be with you. Do you feel like you get lost in the mix? How do you separate yourself from that and keep it all in perspective? Because if you manage to be very successful, which we anticipate, you'll be the first Force to have done so in a non-funny car. So how do you put all of that in perspective?
You know, I just, obviously I would not be out here if it weren't for my dad. My dad gave me this opportunity to drive this top fuel car, and it means so much to me. I'm loving every second of it, and I still thank him all the time just because this year has just been so awesome, and I've loved everything about it. And, you know, I couldn't thank him for anything more, just for giving me this opportunity. And, you know, he supported me the entire way. He really wanted me in a funny car, but he supported the whole top field thing. And I know it's been a challenge for him, too, because, you know, it's rough for him to watch, you know, us get beat in first round or not qualify. And, you know, we've had our ups and downs. But, you know, I wouldn't be out here for him. So I'd really have to, you know, thank him for everything.
You know, we asked your sister the very same thing. We asked her, what's on your iPod? And then we said, what's on your dad's iPod? And she says, well, we just got him one. He's still trying to figure out how to work it. what's on your iPod?
I have everything on my iPod. I'm just recently getting into country. I did not like country for the longest time. But I just bought the new Luke Bryan, his new album. And I really like that. But I have everything from, like, Ellie Goulding. I mean, I have all of it, Florence and Machine, so I like a mix of everything.
Well, you're in a good spot if you like country music, that's for sure. We've been talking with Brittany Force. We appreciate you taking some time. What's your schedule today look like?
We'll be warming up pretty soon, and we'll have our first qualifying pass at 12 and then 3 o'clock. So everyone listening, you got to come check us out. We're out here in Dallas, NHRA Drag Racing Series, so... We'll be out here racing, signing autographs. Love to meet you.
Well, where can people find you on social media? I know you're not on Facebook. You're on Twitter. And we'll be rooting for you throughout the season.
Thank you very much.
Brittany Force, daughter of John Force and sister of Courtney Force, Middle Force daughter out there in Texas Motorplex. And we appreciate her taking some time to join us. We're going to take a break, guys. Right around the corner, myself and Jared Calhoun is breaking down Fantasy Football Huddle and to get you ready for this week's game time, week number 3.
To your lips, and I wish I was your beer, and in the small there of your back, your jeans are playing peekaboo.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Welcome back to the Balance, the final segment. We always save the best for last. Well, not really the best for last. You know, last minute today, this morning, we got a call from Brittany Force's people. We got to move that interview around, so we kind of did some shaking and baking. We had Philip B. Wilson in the earlier part of the show, and we kind of basically swapped our NFL segment with our racing segment. Well, great interview we had with Brittany Force out there in Texas. Obviously, as we know her as the daughter of John Force and the sister of Courtney Force, I really enjoyed that interview. It's always good to talk with those girls. We've had them on now officially. I think we've had them all on the show at one point or another. And great job. And we got all of her stuff up there on the social media as well. I also want to point out to you, and I've mentioned it a couple times during the show, this show is dedicated to Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department police officer Rod Bradway, who died yesterday. He was shot in responding to a domestic violence call. True hero. And, kicked the door in without getting into all the details, heard a girl screaming, and he was shot. He exchanged gunfire. The suspect was killed. But we do salute Officer Rod Bradbury again, who was killed in the line of action here in Indianapolis, which is where we flagship from. It's time for Fantasy Football Huddle. Myself and Jared Calhoun, my colleague and self-proclaimed prognosticator. I got the word right earlier, Jared, and I'm having problems today. So I'm just going to go with saying that you are a self-proclaimed fantasy football expert. And you did a great job. I'll give you that. You've lived up to your high expectations you provided for yourself. Jared Calhoun, what's going on, my friend? What's going on?
Well, thank you for those props there. I will pay you later. My check is in the mail. But thanks for having me on the show.
In the PayPal?
Yeah. Ready
money
to
the PayPal.
Yeah. Definitely ready to break down some of those sticky situations going on in the NFL this weekend.
Right. And I do want to make sure that we got your Twitter right. It's J Calhoun Indy, correct?
You got it.
All right. I wanted to make sure we got that up here on your social media. We didn't use the same Twitter from last week. But, I do want to talk about some injuries. We're going to get into some injuries. And it's starting to play an impact in your – in your lineups. We're going to week three. We've had 2 weeks to kind of get settled in. And week three is really where things start happening. And you start seeing a lot of trades. You start seeing a lot of drops and a lot of activity on the waiver wire. Let's talk a little bit about a trade you and I did. Wasn't very popular with a few people in our league, our work league. I know you're in the balance league, but I speak of the Gannett league that we are in together. You put together a trade, and I was a little bit apprehensive about this at first. But you did add a little meat to it to sweeten the pot a little bit. I went ahead and accepted the trade. Maybe it's time that we start talking about trades. So let's talk about our trade. I gave up C.J. Spiller. In exchange, I got a few players. Talk with us a little bit about how that trade came about, why you chose to make that trade. Probably a lot of people listening right now saying, Tom, you the sucker. But go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people need to understand the dynamics of our league before we can say why we made that deal. So, honestly, we're in a place where we're doing a 16-team league, and there is not a lot of options on the waivers. If they are, they're week-to-week breakout types, not going to be reliable. And so, you know, you look at the deals where maybe I need an upgraded running back. I just lost an Eddie Lacy. I'm not the hugest – like, I've got a few options who can fall in that flex. What I really needed was an upgrade. And then you, on the other hand, were in a position where you're in a rough spot just due to maybe some injuries, maybe some underperformance. And so you were looking just for masks, for options that could possibly produce. So, you know, in a 10-team league, you've got some options out there that you might be able to pick up off waivers. You know, Dwayne Bowe put up 13 points last week, so I sold high on him. And then he came out and laid an egg for you the other night on Thursday Night Football. I don't think that's going to be the case for the rest of the season, but for me, that's a guy I'm not looking to start. I think I ended up with him kind of out of desperation in the draft. I was like, man, that looks like a name, you know. And Darrell Richardson, I think, is going to be a decent running back for the rest of the year. And so if I could, you know, take that and upgrade, it's kind of where I was at. So what I was looking to do is just get another solid running back that I can depend on, because wide receiver is so deep that you could start to stream or, you know, kind of ride the hot hand, so to speak, at wide receiver, even in a 16-team league. Luckily, Tom, you know, your Jason Avant paid off for you this week.
He did.
Ta-da. Yeah, so – you know, that's something that we're looking at now. You know, I'm looking towards the playoffs in this league already, because I started 2-0, and I don't think there's that many solid teams in the league. So I'm trying to set myself up for the playoff run. So that's why I made that deal.
And you know, like a lot of leagues, there's a little skin in the game, so it sweetens it a little bit if you can make it to the playoffs, and especially win our Super Bowl, because we're playing for the gusto, we're playing for the house, we're playing for the dollars, we're playing for the pesos. Well, it's week three, Jared. It's time to start. Really, you nailed it on the head there. I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm going to try. You're positioning yourself to be in the playoffs. So, and one of the things you've got to look at, you know, as much as we love our fantasy football players, you know, there comes a time when you got to look at either A, they're not performing, or B, they've got some injuries to deal with. So each week, I want to spend a little time talking about injuries, because that's a huge, huge thing. And if you got these guys on your team, you might want to start looking at, hey, do I keep them? Do I bench them? If your team league has an option to IR, I would say, unless you have like an Adrian Peterson or a Peyton Manning or something like that, I would say never IR a fantasy football. If they can't play, if you're in a position that you got to IR them, Jared, you might disagree with me, unless they're one of your really big studs, wouldn't you say it's better just to drop them and see what you can pick up in the waiver wire?
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes most fantasy leagues don't even have, you know, an IR. Some do, some don't, but in general, you know, you're going to run into a place where, you know, unless it's a top maybe five or top 10 10 rounds of a player, you're not going to want to sit on them. Now, what we're seeing here is Steven Jackson's out this weekend. You know, you're not dropping him. You're kind of reeling to find a replacement for him. Like, and you probably don't have a real strong replacement for Steven Jackson just because of the depth of wide receiver. So what you're going to do is hopefully you drafted at least 3 to 4 running backs. You know, and now you have 3 healthy, and maybe you can move one into one of those from the flex into your RB2, which is probably where Steven Jackson was. And I'm going to recommend rolling out someone who's a receiver in your flex, because I think receivers last weekend, if you look at some of the stats, there were like 20 some odd receivers in like high 20s in 10 points. And the number of running backs that scored over 10 points was like 15 or something like that. Something ridiculous. So the league has become a passing league, and it's become a shifting running back league. So what you're going to do, there's not that always that clear-cut backup guy. I mean, you even look at what they're doing in, you know, and Cleveland. You know, that could have been a really nice opportunity for somebody, but they brought in Willis McGahee, and they're saying they're going to run out Bobby Rainey, and they're going to run out Chris Aguanaya. So you just don't know what's going to happen there. You know, even in Green Bay, I was a big Ed Lacy owner this year. He's injured. I had no clue James Starks was going to be a backup. You know, that kind of came out of nowhere. So I'm going to be running out in my flex wide receivers against my safe choosing that I always do this week.
And you know, you mentioned Lacy being on injured. You didn't expect that. And, you know, I know you kind of had a little bit of a freak out moment there too. But, you know, I was in a situation where – I don't know that I was really – my issues were more injuries, not so at all. My issues were simply been underperforming, and maybe that reflected somewhat on my ability to draft. But, you know, that stuff sort of happens. So basically, I had to just go in this past week and redo everything. Now, I picked up what a lot of people may have as a handcuff, what we call as a handcuff, to Lacy. When you have a player like Lacy, maybe you want to go ahead and pick up Starks if he's even still available, because I picked him up on the waiver. My team sucks so bad, I got the first waiver pick. So, you know, hey, sorry about your luck. But I will tell you one thing. I'm one of these guys this year. I can see myself spending a lot of time on the waiver wire. So I know for a fact that Eddie Lacy's going – when he comes back, the job is his. And he's not going to be splitting carries with Starks. So a situation like that, like with me, I picked up Starks, but I'll drop him as soon as Lacy comes back on the field. And so we want to get to these injuries. Obviously, we've talked about Eddie Lacy with Green Bay, probably the biggest injury impact in the fantasy football arena. Lacy probably won't play this week. We know for a fact he won't play this week after a concussion that happened last week. Then you've got the bye week. So after the bye week, we should be in a good position maybe to see Eddie Lacy come in. Right, absolutely. And then Ryan Broyles, wide receiver of the Detroit Lions. Broyles might be ready to be active this week, but I wouldn't plan on him. I'd go ahead and sit Ryan Broyles and Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh Steelers, and to me a highly overrated running back anyway. And I think there's a lot of emphasis, as it should be, especially in a PPR league. Running backs are God, but I think we put too much emphasis on running backs. I think you can get as good a much of a performance out of wide receivers as you can running back. Le'Veon Bell as well in the injury list, and you look at Dwayne Allen, as we know, tied in with the Indianapolis Colts, obviously boosted up the value of number 80. Why, where is Jersey? Fleeter, Kobe Fleeter. You talk about the head brain fart. I wear his jersey. I sport his jersey. I love Kobe, and the name just didn't come to me. So anybody else you want to add to that injury list there as far as injuries that we want to, hey, set these guys, you're stupid if you play them?
Well, I don't know if there's too many more that you're stupid if you play them, but there are a lot of injury questions. I think, you know, some of the ones that, you know, most people can see, the guys like Malcolm Floyd who got knocked out, Eddie Lacy, who, you know, got knocked out last week. You know, Ryan Broyles is going to play this week, but I'm not running him out unless it is an absolutely deep league. You just never know what they're going to produce now. They're going to get up against one of the worst pass defenses in the league, but you just never know. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, he was good last year, but I'm more the type of guy who's going to be safe and make sure a guy's producing again before I put him in my lineup. Now, I'll pick him up, but I'm not going to put him in there because I'd rather – miss that 10-point game, that first one, rather than run a guy out that's maybe not back in the shuffle yet. So Ray Rice is definitely out. You want to have Bernard Pierce in. If you didn't draft Bernard Pierce, sorry about you. You should have been more aware. It's like that's probably one of the top three backups you need to grab in the NFL besides LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown and Ben Tate and Arian Foster. So we saw Bernard Pierce even come into somewhat of a solid timeshare last year. He was one of the backups getting the most play. But another one that a lot of people probably aren't paying attention to just because of like the name recognition is Reggie Bush. I think they're saying he's going to be out this weekend. I'm trying to read up everything I can on the internet. And it just looks like he's going to be out. So at this point, he may play against an awful defense, but if you got Joyce Bell on your team, or if he's on waivers, you need to grab him because that's a 1 o'clock start. So that's good. So if you can put Joyce Bell out there, he's going to be a top 10 play against that awful, awful defense. So I'm not sure, you know, if anyone else believes that, but you know, they that's just a good situation to be in. So.
Go ahead. No,
you got to look at what James Starks did against Washington last week, and just kind of say that's where Joyce Bell is going to be this week, or something similar to that, if he gets an opportunity.
Well, we're talking with Jared Calhoun. This is Fantasy Football Huddle on the Balance. Now, week three, you got to pay attention to these injuries. But week three is where things really start to matter. And if you don't pay attention, a couple things may happen with your team.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
So you're either going to be crying about your team or you're going in the crapper. And you got to pay attention to these injuries. And, you know, some of the things, you know, and maybe I'm just the person who just doesn't trust one source. I get a lot of different sources. You know, ESPN, which is who we play through, they have projections. And they say, well, maybe they'll play, maybe they won't play, but you need to also research your injuries, not just rely. ESPN's a very reliable source, don't get me wrong, but you need to look at some of the other things. And I had a caution, you know, you mentioned Ray Rice, and maybe that's because I have Ray Rice on one of my teams. I'm hoping to see. So I've kind of got another list here. Jared, I want to get through these so we get to our stardom and setups. But another list here that I have, what I call the wait-and-see game, which proverbially always on ESPN you'll see, well, wait, check back maybe right before game time. They're listed as probable. Sometimes probable means out. So you just got to be able to do the research. And you yourself said Ray Rice isn't coming back this week. So, you know, I had him on my wait and see. I'd like to see if he's going to be able to make it this week. Maurice Jones-Drew, another wait and see, kind of a yellow light, if you will. Larry Fitzgerald, guys like this, I mean, you look at Fitzgerald and Rice, you've got to really monitor that, do the research on that. Roddy White, I got him, obviously, in our league. Rashad Mendenhall and Mark Ingram, those are all players that are injured right now that are in my wait and see list. Jared?
Yeah. There are a lot of players out there. I think you're running, you got to put Fitzgerald out there. Unless he's absolutely out, you got to run him out there. I mean, that a guy with that type of upside that you're putting out there. You do need to do a lot of, there's a lot of websites out there that do kind of minute-by-minute or update stats and whatnot. But, you know, at this point in the season, you're like, well, which quarterback should I run out? Maybe if I've, you know, you're wondering about maybe I need to pick up a backup, or do I, you know, get cute and start, you know, Sam Bradford this weekend over, you know, over somebody like, I don't know, maybe over a Russell Wilson. I don't know. But, you know, what you want to do here with these injuries is to stay on top of them on a regular basis. So check that stuff on Saturday. Check it on Sunday morning. Have that backup ready to go, or another option that you feel good about. There are so many receivers out there that you can just plug them in. You know, if Fitzgerald is out, there's going to be a couple guys on that team, Andre Roberts and Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd hasn't produced much now this year, but he's been, you know, highlighted in the red zone and been overthrown a couple times in the red zone. You know, that's a guy to keep a lookout for as well. Another guy maybe that kind of broke out on Monday Night Football is Giovanni Bernard. That's a guy I'm high on. I really feel like he's a guy that you could really benefit from this week, because I think they're playing the Packers. And I have a feeling that they're going to be playing from behind, so they're going to have him in just like they did the other night when they were throwing the ball. And because I think he had a 7-yard touchdown, and he caught a 20-yard pass, you know, pass for a touchdown. So when they're moving that defense fast, you know, it's not going to be the Ben Jervis Penny Nullis show.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, real quickly, we're going to get into our starting set. I'm just going to go through these. Guys, green lights, I would say go ahead, and if you got them and you're planning on starting them. You know, last week a lot of teams were hit with injuries, and again, this week three is a huge injury indicator. But Julio Jones, wide receiver with the Falcons, I think he's going to be okay to play. Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, Bernard, you were just talking about, I believe, Vernon Davis, Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins, Kendall Wright, T.Y. Hilton with the Colts. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to help you rack up a lot of fantasy points this year, but also this week. He could be, because you got to think Luck might be tossing that ball a lot, especially when you look at San Francisco trying to break up that protection there and really focusing on more on Trent Richardson and trying to stop the run. It might be Luck might be forced to throw a lot. We know he likes to throw to T.Y. Hilton, so that might be a good starting place for you. Heath Miller, obviously tied in with the Steelers, are green light guys to go. I want to go ahead and get into our start 'em and set 'ems while we still got time, because we want to make sure that we do this. Because one of the key things that we do on the show, myself and Jared of Fantasy Football Huddle here, is we help you get your lineup set. So we're going into the week number three. We don't have to worry about bye weeks, which we'll get into that next week. But that's another thing you got to pay attention to, because so many times, I didn't know my team was on a bye. How could you not know my player was on a bye? You must not be paying attention to your league. Well, that might be the case. And, you know, I'm reminded of a commercial. It was a funny, funny commercial. Wife wakes up, husband's not in bed, and she hears whispering, and she just sneaks down the stairs and goes, "What do you mean? How could this be happening? What are you doing?" And it's all about the lineup and the injuries, and he's talking to his buddy. It's something like you and I do via text these days, not in the middle of the night or anything. Terrell Parker, I'm going to go through my lineup, and I'm using our Gannett League as a model here. Certainly, we're both in other leagues, so, you know, I'm using this as a model for my stardoms. I don't have a lot, but certainly a lot of options at this point. As we talked about, I'm struggling with my team. So a lot of people might be struggling with her team. I released Josh Freeman and I pitched up Terrell Pryor, and maybe that was a risky move. I'm typically not that big of a risky of a person, as you could tell by the trade that we put together. But Terrell Pryor, I like the way he moves on his feet, and I think that my other quarterback situation is Carson Palmer. I decided this week to start Terrell Pryor over Carson Palmer, and I'm going to go ahead and play starts. Obviously, I picked him up, and he's going to get the carries. I agree. I'd be stupid not to play him. And so some other ones that I'm looking at: Daryl Richardson, Eric Decker. Bo played. I can't do anything about it. He sucked an egg, so that one hurt me. But on the other end, Abbott with Philadelphia did me very, very well. I'm going to play the Cowboys defense, I think, just because they're playing St. Louis. And I'm going to throw in Caleb Sturgers as a kicker. You know, speaking of kicker, there might be weeks that I don't even play a kicker, or I drop and pick up a kicker pretty much weekly. So go ahead, Jared. What are your thoughts? Start him, set him. Let's go. Kind of go through these.
Sure. I think there's a couple guys that are going to be underrated this week. I think one of them being Sam Bradford. And you were just saying that you're going to start the Dallas defense, but I think they've just been awful this year. You got to look at what happened with the Chiefs last week. I don't think the Chiefs offense is that good. I just think the Eagles and I think the Dallas defense is bad.
Well, let me point this out. My other option is the Falcons defense, unless I go on and try to find something on the waiver wire this late in the week. So what are your thoughts? The Falcons or the Cowboys? If you have those two to choose from, who do you pick?
Man, I might go with the Falcons based on
– You're not playing me, so you're not benefiting. So
yeah, I might go with the Falcons based on the upside of the Miami team. Yeah, they did pretty well against the Colts last week, but I don't think they have that home run potential that that we saw last week from Sam Bradford with Tavon Austin scoring multiple touchdowns and Jared Cook and Chris Givens. They don't have that explosive factor. I think Miami is going to try to beat you with defense in a run game, you know, 20-20 rather than the Rams. They're going to try to beat you 35-30, you know, something like that, which is ultimately going to ruin all those you know, your point spread points that you look for from your defense. And, you know, they're no slouch of a defense, so you just never know. So that would be my inclination, but there could probably be good rationale for going with the Cowboys, too.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to go through some stardoms. You can add to the list if you want to. Obviously, I think Tony Romo's a good start. We just talked about that very game. Russell Wilson in the quarterback situation in Seattle. Matthew Stafford, I actually encourage Michelle in our balance league to start Matthew Stafford over Eli Manning this week. Ryan Tannehill. And Alex Smith, well, we knew what happened there. We don't even need to talk about that. Sorry, I make my list up early. So scratch Alex Smith. If you didn't start him, you didn't start him. But so quarterbacks there, running backs, Reggie Bush, Marshawn Lynch, Frank Gore, Alfred Morris, and Moreno with Denver, wide receiver, Wallace, Bo, again, already played. So I was going to play him. Because it was in our trade, Reggie Wayne, Cruz. You always got to play Wayne with Indianapolis. If you got him, you play Wayne. He's going to get you points. And Eddie Royal as well. I like Royal. I really do. I think he's a good wide receiver. Greg Olson, Daniels, and Gonzagas. And we talked about a little bit about the defenses. So go ahead and do your stardoms. Add it to that list of whoever you want. I just wanted to make sure I got him in there because of our time schedule. So go right ahead, sir.
Sure. I think you had a lot of those guys that you're looking at. You know, I'd be starting Giovanni Bernard in my flex. That's a guy that I'm huge on. I do not sit David Wilson for someone like D'Angelo Williams. I don't care what's going on. David Wilson has that upside. Maybe put a receiver in there, but you know, that's the guy that you're going to want to have in the game. Don't bother with Jaquez Rogers, Steven Jackson's replacement. Don't even try it. Don't be cute. Throw a receiver out there who might get a touchdown. Receivers, you know, Pierre Garçon, bound for a big week. He's got a breakout here sometime. He had a big one last week. You know, I agree with T.Y. Hilton. Kind of worried about Torrey Smith and kind of some of the players that went from Baltimore to Houston. Look out for those guys. Eddie Royal, I'm not getting too cute with Eddie Royal. He's had a great couple weeks, but I'm not starting him over somebody like, you know, Wallace or Edelman or James Jones, Bolden even. Make sure you have Bolden back in your lineup. Don't expect 30 points, but he's going to slice and dice just like Mike Wallace did us last week. I'm trying to think about the tight ends. Make sure you've got your Owen Daniels. Get Colby Fleener in the lineup, whatever you got to do. Unless you got, you know, some of those top options, maybe even Witten or Graham, Colby Fleener, they're going to chuck him the ball, as you saw last week with Wayne Allen out.
Right, absolutely. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to add one more thing there. Well, we're about out of time. Always, the clock waits for nobody. The clock is the worst enemy in the universe. Real quickly, final thoughts. We're going to give the last word to you, Jared, because we are running out of time here. Go ahead.
Well, we've seen some crazy stuff happen in the NFL this week. Seeing Trent Richardson being traded from the Browns to our beloved Colts. So this can mean two things for us. Either Trent Richardson's awful.
What a lot of girls be looking.
Run that ball.
Okay, are you there, Jared?
I'm here.
Go ahead. We lost our stream, but go ahead. We continue going on the internet live. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, that was it. I was just Ahmad Bradshaw might play a little bit this week. He's probably gonna get stuffed against the 49ers. I think it's gonna be the luck show. But I think ultimately we see Trent Richardson come in and do his first-round draft pick thing.
All right, Jared Calhoun, that's it. We don't have your blog yet. Hopefully we'll have it here soon. We'll get it up on the website. Jared Calhoun, Fantasy Football Huddle. We do this every week, guys. And also, you got a new Twitter, so if you got some fantasy questions, go ahead and tweet myself, at TBalance, or Jared, what's your Twitter?
It's Jay Calhoun Indy.
Jay Calhoun Indy. And we'll get you set up. So even though we may not be on the mic, we're always on the Twitter. All right, Jared, you have yourself a good weekend. I'll catch up with you next week, sir.
All right. Catch you later.
Thank you. Jared Calhoun, always love having him on, guys. That's going to do it for us. Remember, don't drink and drive. Our show today has been dedicated to IMPD Officer Rod Bradway, who lost his life tragically and killed in the line of duty. We salute you, our heroes, and certainly here in Indianapolis, we mourn the loss of one of our greatest. Guys, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I'll see you guys next week right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'm out of here. Peace.
I'm sexy and I know it. Check it out. Check it out. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Do the wiggle, man.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.